Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries. I am so excited today that we have another opportunity to study the Word of God. I bring you greetings in the awesome and powerful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. From the Life Support Outreach Ministry Church and from the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries. We are so excited and delighted that you've chosen to study with us on this evening. We just give God praise for His Word. We give God praise for the Holy Spirit, that who's the teacher. We're going to get ready to call, to give our call to worship, and we'll have devotion. We have a song, a scripture, and a prayer. We'll do our devotion. We give God praise tonight. We just thank and praise God on tonight. We'll have our music now. Amen, amen. And our scripture reading tonight will be coming from Psalms 19. Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech, nor language, where their voices is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their word to the end of the world. In them have He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the end of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than any, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his error? cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Father God, we come humbly before your throne of grace tonight, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Lord, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come on tonight, Lord, first of all, we come just repenting and confessing and asking you to forgive us and wash us through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just cleanse us, Lord, all over from the inside out in the name of Jesus. Then we come now, Lord, binding the strong man. Lord, we ask you now to bind the strong man and bind the strong man from our lives, Lord, and bind up the strong man from our radio broadcast and bind the strong man, Father, from every residence, every home, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We bind you up now. We cast you out, and we command you to go up in the name of Jesus. Then we ask you, Holy Spirit, to shift in the atmosphere right now. I ask you to change the atmosphere right now, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. I ask you tonight, in the name of Jesus, to send your anointing, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Send your anointing tonight, in the name of Jesus. We cry for your anointing. We call on you, Lord, for your anointing. We need you, Lord, and we can't make it without you. We call it for your anointing tonight. When your anointing is present, it's present to heal, and it's present to deliver, and it's present to set free on tonight, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I call on you tonight, in the name of Jesus, to let Deborah decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase, and teach your people, Lord. I know nothing of myself. I can do nothing of myself. In the name of Jesus, I give you glory, and I give you praise on tonight. I just thank you, Lord. I praise you tonight, and I call on your holy name on tonight. I just thank you for being right in our midst, Lord. I thank the Holy Spirit for being right in our midst. In the name of Jesus, I just give you praise on tonight, Lord. I ask you to bless everyone, Lord, under the sound of my voice, Lord. Open up our understandings, Lord. Open up our mind, Lord. Open up our heart, Lord, that we can receive your word, Lord, and take it and apply it to our life. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory and we give you praise on tonight. We just magnify your name. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Amen, amen. We give God glory on tonight. We're going to go into our Bible class on tonight. And I had been praying about a few things to teach about. Didn't know what, but God gave me something. And I thank and praise him on tonight. We're going to be talking about knowing the time. This is a wake-up call. This is a wake-up call for us. We're going to be starting in Matthew, in the book of Matthew. Let me see. Chapter 16 and verse 1. Chapter 16. God is so good. It's time for us in this season to know to wake up. It's time for us to do what God has called us to do. It's time for us to do the things that God is leading us to do. So this is a wake-up call. This is all I can say. I don't know what other subject could call it, and I don't usually teach from a subject, but I'm teaching today, and some of the notes come from Romans 13 and 11, but I'm going to start today with Matthew verses 16 and 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, tempting, desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when is it? When it is evening, ye say it would be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it would be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the sign of the times. See, in Matthew 12, I think it's chapter 12 and 38, the scribes and the Pharisees asked for a sign. They asked for a sign. And at that time, the Lord gave them the sign of Jonah at that time. Yeah. At that time, the Lord gave them the sign of Jonah. He's going to do that again, but first he called their attention to the fact that although they are very good at predicting the weather, they don't seem to be able to recognize the sign of the times. That's the same thing here today. I mean, we have weather forecasts for that. They get pretty close. But how you gonna tell the weather and you don't even know the sign of the times? The signs of the time is he gave us the signs. He gave signs. So I'm gonna get to that. But he gave signs, and we can't even read back and realize what time it is. We see these things going on, and we act like we don't know what's happening. And how God is trying to get our attention, but he's trying to get our attention. He's trying to get our attention. And that's why he called them hypocrites, fake people. He said, oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the sign of the times. We better be able to discern it, because if we don't, we're gonna be messed up. We're gonna go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let me see. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5. These are the times right here where we need to understand. And these are the times where we need to find out and realize that God is giving us a wake-up call. God is giving us a wake. This is a wake-up call for us. Because this little virus stuff, it's a wake-up call. Now every little thing want to come in this thing right here. Now the children got stuff coming on them and all this kind of stuff from this same thing. Now it's starting to affect the animals. I'm not going to say it's the virus because they didn't say it was the virus, but they said it's a hair disease out killing the rabbits and stuff. It's just, like I said before, when it first started, I said it's not the end of it, you know, because God really wants us to get serious. God really wants us to get in his face. God really wants us. He's trying to grow us or turn us to him. And some of us coming, but some of us not. You know, some people don't even know about God. And the ones that do, we got so many atheists out here that don't even believe in God. They believe in Scientology. And so we have to remember, we got to pray for all people to turn to God. you know, so he can forgive the land, heal our land, forgive us of our sins and heal the land. That's what we have to do. Okay, it says, 1 Thessalonians say, but the times and the season, but of the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Now, this Paul writing unto the church at Thessalonica, and that's what he told them. He said, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Times and seasons are not the property of the church. They belong to this earth and to the earthly people. But Israel and the Gentiles who will be saved in that day, the church is looking for a person, not for times and seasons. The word for time, word chrono, like chronology, the times and the seasons or the chronology is not for the church. We need to be seeking God, and because God made time, time belongs to God. So we need to be seeking God for anything. He can hold back time, and he did. He can hold it back. He can do whatever. He can move it forward, or he can move it backwards. So God can do whatever he want to do with times and seasons. But that's the, if you can't tell season from the seasons, that's one of the signs. Verse 2 says, for yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, because nobody knows the day or the hour. Nobody knows that day. Nobody. The Lord Jesus does not come to the church like a thief in the night. The church is looking for or waiting for the Lord to come. You know we waiting. You don't wait for a thief and look for him and leave a note for him. You know, we're not looking for a thief. We're looking for God to come. That's who we're looking for. So we know perfectly well that the Lord is coming, but we just don't know when. We just don't know when. But we do know he's coming. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as a travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. Do you notice the change up here in the first two verses? Paul is addressing the brethren, and he says that it is not necessary for him to write to them about times and seasons, because they will have nothing to do with it. Believers will be gone at this time. He's thinking the rapture would already have taken place at this time. So he was saying, you don't have to worry about that. But here in verse 3, it changes to they, when they shall say peace and safety. Again, let me repeat that the day of the Lord is a period of time which begins with the great tribulation and goes through the millennial reign of Christ here upon the earth. There are many passages of scripture I could have got which speaks of this, like over in Isaiah chapter 12 through 13. God moves down in judgment on society and government, on the military and the commerce and the art and the pomp and the pride and religion. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolated, and he shall destroy the center thereof. So we don't have to worry about that, because we'll be gone, but some will and some won't. So we do have to be concerned. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. So we supposed to be believers. We should know the rapture of the church actually does two things. It ends this day of grace in which we are today, this calling out a people for his name and bringing many sons home to glory. That's why I thought I was talking to Apostle the other day. I was saying, man, I just hope the rapture didn't come, because those 33 Kojic pastors, bishops, and a superintendent that died during this virus stuff, I was like, that's a lot of believers that left here, but I don't know who they were. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how they did they really believe, or was every one of them, you know, up Satan and God in Christ and living holy for God and stuff. I didn't know that. I'm just speculating because it's so many of them died. 33 of them, Kojic bishops. That's a lot. I was saying, Lord, don't leave me here. If this the rapture, no, don't leave me here, because it's not gonna be good. It's not gonna be fun after that. But we have to know. We have to know. It seems like the church, and the church is in us, is asleep. We're doing every other thing. We plan a little church. We plan a little here. We doing a little that. But we're not doing what God wants us to do. We need to be in his favor as much as possible. We need to be in his faith as much as possible. It's hard when you doing other things, or you working, or you got other duties and stuff. But as much as you can, we need to be before the Lord. We need to be before the Lord, because this is why things are happening like they're happening, because he's trying to get our attention so bad that a virus came out. Oh, they say, man, maybe. I ain't trying to take no credit from man, but God could have stopped it at any time. He can still stop it at any time. But God trying to get us where we can only depend on him. Science is trying to make a antidote and all this kind of stuff, and pill medicine, whatever they're trying to make. And all that we got to do is throw our hands up to God and surrender and repent. And he will heal the land. He will forgive us of our sins, and he will heal the land. This is our wake-up. It's what we need to be focusing on. We're not focused on God enough. We're not doing enough. You know, and I'm not saying people are not everybody, but it's a lot of people not. And nobody's on this a radio broadcast, but it's so many other people. We think everybody, because of what's going on, is bowing down before God and calling on his name. They not. You see, when in Texas, as soon as they open the bar, they flock right in there. They flock right on in there, drinking, and they ain't had a mask on, sitting two minutes apart. Mm-mm. Can't tell me they ain't sudden God. They not sudden God, and that's why he going to keep the hammer down. We got to learn to call on his name. We got to learn, and we can pray for them. We can pray for them. But, you know, God's probably going to just keep hardening their heart, like he did Pharaoh. Keep hardening their heart so he can go ahead on and destroy them. Mm-hmm. Jesus gave to his disciples the signs of his return, and then said, when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is nigh thee. The Lord has given so many signs of his coming that there is no excuse for being caught by surprise. And it's not. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. What were the days of Noah like? What was those days like? Men were multiplying upon the face of the earth, or population explosion. There were genetic engineering that was producing a race of gigantic men, which was the giant was in the land, because you know David had to fight the giants. There were wickedness of men was so great back in the day of Noah that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, because he didn't never think good stuff. He would start thinking evil, and then he had to think something else evil behind that and something else evil behind that. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And it's almost like that now. Oh, we got some praying people. We got some praying people, because if we didn't, he wouldn't even spare us this time. He wouldn't have. And he allowing his believers, his true believers, to even prosper in this season. Oh, they're saying so many black people dying and all this kind of stuff. But God is providing. He's protecting us. All we got to do is stay focused on him and on the word of God. Let the Holy Spirit of God lead us the way to go. God will tell us how to do these things. I'm telling you. God will tell us. He'll show us. And I thank and praise God for that. I thank God for that. Paul was speaking of the last day, and he said over in 2 Timothy, in the 3rd chapter, let's see, 2 Timothy. In the 3rd chapter. In the first verse. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous times shall come. Paul is telling Timothy something very important that he wants him to know. He's telling him what to expect and what is to be the future of the church. It is not a very bright future for the church. The last day term for immediately following the rapture, the last day, the last days, and I'm putting the S on that, it precedes the rapture of the church. The last day of the church is not the same as the last days of the nation of Israel, which is talked about in the Old Testament repeatedly. In the Old Testament, the last days are called the end of the age. That's what the last days are in the Old Testament. At the end of the age, or the time of the end, which is the great tribulation period. See, we need to know all these things, because you know we right at the end. We're in the book of Revelation. And you know I'm not trying to scare anybody, but we are. And we need to know, because God is he's only protecting us. He's only providing for us. He's only trying to show us the things that are going to come that's in the Bible. You know, we need to realize we're going to have to go through a lot of things. We're going to go through a lot of things, but we're protected. We're protected. Provide for us. Nobody, one of us are hungry or getting set outside or got sores on us or got the virus and stuff. God is a good God. He's so worthy to be praised. You know, it's hard to even talk to people that don't know anything about God. We have to witness, but we looking at them like, y'all don't know this yet. Y'all, who? What y'all being? But like I said, the ones that ran out to the, soon as they in Texas, soon as they let some of the restaurants and the bars and the club open up, they was right in there with their drink, laughing and talking and stuff like that and doing what they do, and they had it all on TV. That wasn't cute, because that's not what God wants us to do. They can say, well, he gave them knowledge to make it. Yeah, but he didn't give them knowledge to misuse it. I don't even want to hear it. So we know perilous times going to come. That's what these are almost. It's not as bad as it's going to get. For men should be lovers of their own covenants, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. That's verse 2. Verse 3 says, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despiser of those that are good. Verse 4 says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of themselves, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Man, when I tell you, it's something. Covetousness means lover of money, love. Because lover of self becomes lover of money. This old nature likes to have a lot of money spent on it. The old man, the old nature. Remember that Paul said in 1 Timothy 6 and 10, the love of money is the root of all evil. Money itself is not bad. It's not bad. The problem comes in our attitude toward our money. Covetousness reveals itself not only in the acquisition of wealth, but also in the use of it. Boaster. Now that word has its swagger. It's like you can sometimes tell a proud man by the way he walks. He got swag, you know, head up, he's strutting, head throwed back, you know, like, hey, don't speak to me, and you know, you too, you ain't good enough to speak to me. He walks like a peacock, swagging his butt, his head. Proud means haughty, means, you know, you so proud, you're hungry, and you're sitting around people eating and won't even ask them to give you a piece of bread. That's proud to me. Blasphemer is a railer. It's like it's saying stuff about the Lord that we shouldn't be. And all people, just not about the Lord, but about people, and they stand, they always sticking their nose in your business, in your conversation, what you're doing, just in everybody else's business except for theirs. Blasphemous. Number 6. Yes it is. Disobedient to parents. Now, we got to not, you know, that's a warning in the Bible. Disobedient to parents. We got to, and every child shall obey his parents. This is self-evident. This is a self thing right here. Thousands of boys and girls and teenagers who are in complete rebellion against their parents. And, you know, they come and they doing that younger and younger, rebelling against their parents. Because when they do get up to age to smell their little butt, then they think they're grown. So, you know, God don't want that. But if you put the, if the word of God is in, you know, saturated in them, then they won't have, they'll know that. They won't have that instinct. They won't have that on their mind because when I was growing up, I'm made from a different kind of material than you all are. And then y'all made from a different kind of material than your children. And so on, and it goes on and on, because I would never hardly even look up at my mama too quick. Not even too, because you didn't do that. You know, it's like getting out of line with her or being fast or, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, but I just thank and praise God for every whooping I got, everything, you know, so I wouldn't be this bad, because I got a whooping every day, so I'm thanking God every day. Unthankful. Many people receive kindness from other people without even thinking about us, thanking them, and they accept everything from God without ever returning thanks to Him. There's so many people you help, you do things for, and they never think to say thank you. They, in some, you know, a lot of times when I do stuff for people, I know they have their mind on other stuff. I just do it, and I step back because my reward coming. He said when he come, he's gonna have his rewards with him, and I want some of them. I don't mind people thanking or whatever they're gonna do, but the glory go to God, because He is the one that allowed us to do this for whoever we're doing it for. But to other people, we still have to be thankful. We still have to be thankful. Unholy. Now, that's profane. They're actually against God in their conversation and in their manner of life. When you live an unholy life, you live holy, you got to live. You got to be just walking on clouds. But God wants us to live holy. He wants us not to do what the world does. He wants us to be set apart, like I'm with Gigi, and we two sitting here. Somebody can walk up and pick me and know that I'm of God. Gigi says she's of God, too. I'm not trying to say she's not. But can pick me out. Now, I'm not finna put on my back, and I'm an apostle, and I'm this, I'm that. No. I'm a child of God. I'm a servant of God. If I can just have that title, if I can just have that title, I serve God. I'm a believer. I'm a Jesus people. If I can have that title, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. And if people can see it, that you're living holy, that the glory of God sits in your face, on you, that the anointing rests on you, God, that's a good thing. That's a blessed thing. Without natural affection. Kind of moved on to the next one, I'm sorry. But I could say a little more on that. And even in people's conversation, you can tell that they're not holy. Even in their conversation, because they're not talking about God. It's almost every conversation I hold or have with a person, God going to come up in some kind of way. If it don't be God's name, it's going to be amen or praise the Lord or thank you, Lord. Or, you know, something going to come up. And not that you're trying to do this, but it comes natural because you are God and God is in you. His word is in you, and you in Him. So it can't help from coming up. Okay, we're moving on. Without natural affection. Now, that means having an abnormal relationship. We living in a day of homosexuality and all kind of myths. You know, but it's accepted in this day from so many people, different people. But Romans 1:24, Paul clearly states, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Humanity stinks to it. Humanity stinks to its lowest level when it's sexuality. And we all have some in our family. And I hate the sin, but I love my family. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to hate the sin. He wants us to hate the sin. But he wants us to love our family. And I love my family. So, and I pray for them. I pray because it could have been me. It could have been me prostituting on the corner. It could have been me selling drugs. It could have been me doing so many things. So I don't judge people like that. Because just as soon as you say you're not, and see, and most of them, especially in my family, most of them have a calling on their life. Most of them preachers or prophets. And they know they preachers and prophets. I don't know. But what we must do, we must pray for them. We must keep them lifted up. Okay. False accusers. We have a lot of false accusers. A lot of them. Because they'll lie on you in a minute. And you won't even know nothing. I'm seeing this happen every day to different ones that come back and let me know. So, you know, we have to be careful because, you know, the devil don't like when you doing what God wants you to do. The devil don't like when you're obedient to the Lord. Contentment. Incontinent means without self-control. That's what it means. It means without self-control. A lot of us don't have that. Don't have self-control. Don't have mind control. We just do anything we want to do. Anytime we want to do. That's what we do. We need to have it where, you know, we can sit quietly until we can get self-control, you know, together. Because God will bless us to do that. This society is like that. Fierce means savage. It means savage to, like, just wild. You know, and we have to, in these days and times now, we got some wild people out there. I remember when I first moved here to Detroit, I was asking some of the girls, like calling and stuff. I was asking them how they go down to Detroit, and because I was a teacher and stuff. She was talking about apostle, just if they walk up to you, just act like you crazy, like you got a problem. I was like, Lord, have mercy. I probably would never pass that. But she said she's done it several times, and they walked away from her too. But people will hurt you because they savage you. Despises of those that are good. That's like someone that, like haters. They, you know, naysayers or haters. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going down through everyone that they said traitors or betrayers whom you don't dare trust. And we know that. You don't dare trust them. Heady means recklessness. High-minded means blinded by pride or drunk with pride. Some God hates those people. He don't like them. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. This actually characterizes mankind in much money in other days, though. In other days. Never has there been a time when so much money has been spent in order to provide pleasure. And they talking about athletic people, athletes, and how they, football players, the basketball players, they have millions upon millions upon millions. And you know, some of them still be themselves, but you know, if they loving money, money will change them. We know that. Money will change them after a while. I want to get to having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, they go through the rituals of religion, but lack life and reality. They just go through the motions. Like they, you know, of God, and they not. And you can tell, because a lot of things they do, you wouldn't dare do it. A lot of things they say, you wouldn't dare say it. You know, if some people think they holy, like I was saying, and I ain't trying to bring Gigi up, but she just don't know. She just don't know. And I've since learned a lot about her and where she gets this stuff from. So I can't hold her accountable, but see, I'm who I am. But God used to wink at man's ignorance. He do not accept those excuses today, and he will not accept them excuses about, well, my mama told me, girl, you're almost 100 years old. You better know your words for yourself. That's why I keep telling us we need to know the word of God ourselves. So, mama, I can't tell you this is wrong. I can't tell you, don't follow me if I'm doing wrong and if I'm not teaching right. Don't follow me. Honey, follow God. That's who you follow. Don't follow no man if he's not teaching the truth, if he's not teaching the word of God. Don't follow him. Don't follow me. But you have to look at it for yourself. You can't do that. You can't do that. Form of godliness, you know, going around where the Lord said this and the Lord said that. No, you got to have some Holy Ghost. You got to have some love in your heart. And I believe she got some love. But I'm telling you, when you raised up the wrong way, when you being taught the wrong way. Now, back in the old days, when the preachers didn't even have a Bible, maybe one of them did, but they couldn't even read it. Somebody else would read it, and they have to think about it and let it soak in them, and then they'll get up and preach, and the Holy Spirit will preach through them. They couldn't even read, but they wouldn't lead nobody down the wrong path. Hey, what, you know? But now we got a little, well, we can read and do this and thus and thus, and we listening to somebody that we shouldn't be listening to. I ain't going to say not listen to because, you know, but even if your mother, your dad, and they not doing the right and they not teaching you right, you should not be going. If you can read and know for yourself, God going to hold you accountable. He going to hold you responsible for your own self. You know the right things to do. You know the right things to do. But that's something we got to know for ourselves. We got to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We got to know it for ourselves. We can't sit around and wait for nobody else. I don't care. When God called you, he ain't going to call mama in you. He ain't going to call daddy in you. He's going to call you to stand before him. And whatever you did, you're going to have to give account for it, because he's going to judge whether it's good or he's going to judge whether it's bad. So you have to do the right thing, because don't think we're not going to have to stand before God for these things that we do. We are. So you know, it's just a blessing to have the word of God, the Bible, to lead us and to show us the way. See, have you watched the news or different things like that? Honey, let me tell you something. All these things is happening. All these things happening. We should try to get ourselves together. all these different things happening. I'm telling you, we have to know that we have to walk the straight and narrow. We have to. And I ain't trying to talk about nobody on here. I see people that hung up. It's okay. It's okay. I'm not finna change the word of God for nobody. I mean that. So, what time is it? It's time for us to wake up out of this sleep. It's time for us to wake up. We need to wake up and know that God is going to judge us. God is going to judge us for everything that we do or say. Jesus told a parable of the 10 virgins, and he told his disciples of the coming again of God for church, of God, of Jesus. Okay, Matthew 25:5 says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumber and slept. And at midnight, this 6 I'm reading down to 13. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins, they arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered and said, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. See, the story of the bridegroom and the virgins is the oil stand for the Holy Spirit. So they had lamps with oil in them, with the Holy Spirit. And so they praised and worshiped enough. They got the Holy Spirit or whatever, and they got, their lamps was full. But if some of them didn't trim their lamps, they didn't. They didn't have no more. They had ran out. They weren't doing what the other ones did. So they asked the ones that had their lamps full, give us some of your oil. They was like, no. Give me some of your Holy Ghost. They was like, no, I'm not doing that. No. And so they said, go and buy you some. Go and get your Holy Spirit. You go get your Holy Ghost. You go get the Spirit of God, just like we did. And when they left, the bridegroom was already there, the Jesus Christ. So when they left, he came and he got the virgin and left them out. He said, no. He said, no, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. I know you not. He said, no. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day or the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We can't do that. We cannot do that. So we have to know that we got to stay on point with God. We got to stay on point with God. Jesus pictured the church as sleeping before his return. Paul also saw that the church was asleep, but he is saying it is time to wake up from our sleep. It is the midnight cry. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Why should we wake up? We have been sleeping long enough. The church has been asleep while the world is going to hell around us. We sleep through the removal of prayer from the public schools, and we do. We let them take prayer out of school. We slept through the removal of the law protecting us from pornography and filth and stuff. We slept through the opening of the doors of the abortion clinics. We just let them do it. We slept through the paganism of America because we got so many pagan holidays, pagan this and pagan that out there. They out there, they more than us almost. Now in our salvation nearer than when we believe, at the end of each day, we can say, I am one day closer to the coming of Jesus Christ. Our salvation is much nearer than when we first believed in Jesus, and it is. Jesus is coming soon to deliver us from this present evil world. He is coming because these are the signs of the times. Because the night is forespent and the day is at hand. The night of the reign of darkness over the world is almost over. The day of the Lord is at hand. So when he come, it ain't going to be no more dark. You know, he come to get us out this world. And his word, and the new heaven and earth is coming on down. It's coming on down. So I thank and praise God for this. I thank and praise God for it on today, for the teaching, because when I start studying on it, you know, and God just gave me a topic. I don't know whether I was supposed to preach it or whether I was supposed to teach it, but I taught it. And I taught it because we needed to know all of what's in this. I preach in 15 and 20 minutes, but we needed this whole hour, whether we listen to it, whether we get mad and hang up, it don't matter. I did what God told me to do, and I thank God. I thank God. And let me tell you something. Apostle Deans don't care who don't like what's in this word of God. Believe me, it's not my word. It's God's word. If you can't handle it, God bless all of us. God bless us all. So I'm not going to hold, you know, because it's got about a minute or two. I just thank and praise God for you all. Being on tonight, and maybe by next Wednesday we'll have everything up for the Zoom. And I just want to let you know, Zoom, we may do something on there as far as ministry, but I'm gonna keep the radio broadcast, and with Zoom we're gonna continue with life support outreach ministry for women, and we're going to have the women, new women. I've talked to several today that's going to come and join us on Zoom. And what we want to do is we want to support at this time of the virus and other things, not just of that, because there's going to be a lot of women needing help. And I'm going to be the first one to put $100 up, and that ain't no money. So when the Lord do bless me with a little money, I'm going to tithe into that ministry so it could be to help the women out here, single women, single mothers, married mothers, period, you know, daughters, whoever it is. I'm going to put whatever tithe God, I tithe from that, I'm going to put a big portion of it in this ministry so we can have to be a blessing to women. Just may need some gas money to get to work or to the store or, you know, whatever it is. We want to be a blessing all over the country. So I've been talking to women all over the country today. And so, you know, we got several that's going to join us on Zoom. So by Wednesday of next week, I'm going to have to either do a Wednesday or Thursday. I got to be prepared to go on. I already have it and everything, but I gotta be prepared to go on Zoom. So I'm being busy in that as well. So like I say, I'm not gonna hold you. We're gonna get ready to close out. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come humbly before your throne of grace, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin that we committed against you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we come right now, Lord, just thanking you and praising you. We give you praise tonight for your holy word. We thank you for what we learned, what you taught us, Holy Spirit, and we give you praise for it, and we thank you. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. You all have a good night. God bless you all. I love you, and God love you too. Have a good night now. God bless. Good night.